All right, y'all, welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 59. Of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99. Back with another episode, man. It's been another one of those weekends, another full fight weekend, starting from, Thursday to Saturday. Full of just fight events, you know, going down. PFL, Bellator, Icon, Invicta FC, UFC, you know. So we got a lot to talk about, man. Of course, I'm not talking about everything I watch. You know, I'm not going to do that this whole episode. But I just want to talk about some key points, some major points, and some major changes going on in WMMA with what went down this weekend. And just kind of liken it to the title of today's episode, which is, you know, where's the energy at? You know, so, yeah, we'll talk about that. But be on the lookout for the full episode dedicated to the Invicta FC Atomweight Tournament, though. You know, I will go back over that that event in an episode, and we'll talk about it, you know, fight by fight, you know, because, you know, I always try to put some shine on the women in Invicta FC. So, yeah, man, let's speak on these topics today, though, man. For today, man, let's talk about the ladies of boxing. You know, ladies of boxing, Amanda Serrano, Clarissa Shields made some big statements this past weekend. You know, they're known as two of the best pound for pound women in boxing. And, you know, they're coming over to the world of mixed martial arts, taking on a bigger challenge, you know, looking for more money, looking for more respect. And I want to talk about their fight separately and just them as a whole and what they can do as far as, you know, crossing over and seeing if they can accomplish the same thing here. So, yeah, we definitely got to speak on that because that's big, man, this past weekend, definitely. Next, Lauren Murphy and her victory over JoJo Calderwood this weekend. I want to talk about her as a whole and the energy that she needs to bring and what she's been talking about recently in her interviews as far as, you know, getting the title shot. You know, I want to discuss that. You know, of course, we already talked about the fight. You know, we all pretty much gave our two cents on who we felt like won the fight between her and JoJo. But, you know, I want to just definitely discuss her chances at a shot at Valentina Shevchenko. And last topic, something I was asked in one of my live streams, Tanisha Tennant, you know, I want to go back and revisit some points and go back and clarify some things. And just add some more to this topic about Tanisha Tennant as a fighter, you know, put a little profile on her. Because, you know, had somebody ask me in a live stream on why she hasn't been signed to the UFC. And it was a live stream. I just kind of answered off the dome because it wasn't about that. So I want to go back and just discuss Tanisha Tennant as a fighter and why she hasn't been signed yet. And just address some other people's answers as well, you know, because when I chopped that part out of a live stream, it's gotten more discussion. You know, I actually had people hit me up and talk about it on the side. So I want to go back and just kind of reiterate on some things with Tanisha Tennant. So, yeah, man, going back up, though, man, this weekend has been crazy, man. It was one of them things, WMMA overloads where I had so much going on watching boxing, too. I said, look, I got to go back and watch these fights on my own time, man, like, because there was so much going on as well that I had to do in my life. So I said, let me go back and watch Invicta FC one night again. You know, I was impressed with what went down. You know, shout out to Jessica Del Boni for winning the tournament and going straight back into there with going back into that title shot realm with Alicia Zapatella. And we all feel like Alicia Zapatella lost that last fight. You know, I'm going to be honest. You know, I feel like Del Boni should be the atomweight champion now, but she's going to get a chance to go back in there and solidify it, you know. So, yeah, it was a good weekend for Invicta FC. And Bellator, I actually didn't get a chance to watch. Honestly, man, Bellator, something got to give, man, you know. I just didn't get a chance to get around to watching Bellator, but I got to go back and check it out. You know, I usually do that on my off time. But, yeah, man, let's go back to PFL 4 and Icon 7, man. The ladies of boxing coming over into the mixed martial arts game. You know, first off, I got to say, shout out to Clarissa Shields, you know, winning her MMA debut over Brittany Elkin, third round TKO after a very rough start. And shout out to Amanda Serrano, you know, winning her, this was what, her third, fourth fight. And, you know, she was a headliner in Icon 7. You know, she scored a first round submission win. So shout out to both of these ladies for making some big statements. And off of what I've seen these two ladies just do, like, it, you know, just putting the level of competition aside, I was really impressed that, you know, two women in boxing could come in and headline cards, you know, and get a lot of recognition, you know, because it seems like it's so hard for these ladies, Clarissa and Amanda, to get shine in the world of boxing. You know, Clarissa's been around a while now, and you know, stuff she's addressed to the media, and it's like she's still not getting the respect in the world of boxing. You know, herself, she said, like, hey, I should be a millionaire. You know, I feel like I should be a millionaire. And then when you just go down her accomplishments, you're like, yeah, she should have a higher name. And she should have a bigger brand in the world of boxing. You know, Clarissa Shields is undisputed in two weight classes, 160 and 154, unified at 168, you know, a two-time gold medalist. And yeah, you know, all these accomplishments, you know, she's been doing some of the things that even the men in boxing don't do. So it's like, how's she not touched M's yet? You know, so that's a question. But now Clarissa Shields feels like, hey, I gotta come over to the world of MMA to make a name and to make money. And she's already experiencing that now. You know, let's be honest, Clarissa Shields is coming over, bringing her name from boxing. But the way she's kind of putting some shock value on it to the fans is the fact that, you know, she's in PFL and she's taking on, she took on an opponent with 9 fights and 12 years of experience, you know. And with that, there comes a lot of love and a lot of hate, you know. So people are going to want to see her win. You know, there's fans that want to see her win, but then there's going to be haters that want to see her lose. So you need that kind of balance to make a name for yourself. And I think that's going to be a benefit for Clarissa Shields. And when she came over and put on that performance Thursday night, it's got a lot of people talking. And I think this is some of the most talk she's ever had, you know, even more so than boxing. You know, because every time she goes into boxing, it's like, oh, we know what she's going to do. She's going to win. But over here, there's a lot of people wanting to see her downfall. You know, there's so many discussions going on, like, hey, she's going to go in there and lose. She's going to get destroyed. But she went in there after two rough rounds, round 1 and 2, and went in there and stopped Brittany Okun. So with that, you know, it's definitely putting a lot of talk on her name right now, you know, which is good for her. That's definitely going to lead to more followers and more money. You know, more money now, you know, with the PFL. But real quick, just kind of going back to her performance, I already kind of broke it down in a live stream. I did a live video about it. But after seeing Clarissa Shields kind of overcome adversity against Brittany Elkin, I think we can all say she still needs a lot of work, right? She definitely needs a lot of work. And that's what, you know, that's something we already knew she was going to need, you know, coming from the world of boxing. You know, she's coming over from the world of boxing, zero ground game, zero ground experience. So it's important that she go back and watch this fight and learn from it. You know, the first two rounds were pretty much what we expected. You know, I expected that. But something told me that she's not going to lose this fight, because there's still one thing that Clarissa Shields has over Brittany Elkin, and that's determination. You know, shout out to Brittany Elkin for taking the fight, though, you know, for going in there and giving Clarissa Shields these lessons and taking her into deep waters. But I knew that even an 0-0 fighter like Clarissa Shields could still find some way to win the minute that opponent in Brittany Elkin slips up. You know what I mean? Like, looking back at the first two rounds, I said, okay, Clarissa Shields, she's not quitting. She's not giving up. Most fighters would have gave up if they were on their back and Elkin had full mount, or if an opponent had full mount on you. You know, they would just give up. They would shield up. But she continued to just hold it down, keep her composure, pull Brittany Elkin in close to defend from the ground and pound, and just kind of ride these rounds out. You know, then she was able to take over in the third round and land a big shot and just make Brittany Elkin fold. And that's what she was looking for. I think she knew that, I'm not going to submit this girl. I'm not going to submit Elkin. I'm never going to be able to take her down and do what she did to me. So I got to look for the big shot and I got to expose her heart. You know, and that's what she was able to do. So that's why I picked Clarissa Shields to win the fight. Like, I knew it was 7 months of experience versus 12 years of experience, but Clarissa's got a lot of experience and tough in a lot of, you know, a lot of hard upbringing and, you know, tough living and, you know, having to fight other intangibles outside of the boxing ring and octagon. So you got to factor all that in. So that's the type of energy Clarissa Shields brings. So I knew that she would be able to handle this type of opponent. But moving forward, I feel like this was probably the one fight where we could say it was the easiest for Clarissa on this level. And any fight from here is going to be, you know, hell for real. You know, I'm just being honest. Like, the rest of the roster in the PFL, you know, there's no slouches. They're all in the tournament. You know, everybody from even Padgett, Gina Fabian, to Larissa Pacheco, definitely, you know, Kayla Harrison. Everybody else is going to be a tough cookie for it. You know what I mean? So this was like a good learning lesson to let her know that, okay, we got it this time against a 12-year veteran, but there's going to be a lot of other work we got to do, you know. So I feel like that's something that she's going to have to kind of ask herself, ask her team at Jackson Wink, like, should I keep going with the PFL or should I go back, track, and work on some other stuff, you know. And that kind of leads me into Amanda Serrano, her situation. Like, shout out to Amanda Serrano. She scored a first round submission. It was her second submission in her career. I missed it said first round, but second submission in her career versus Valentina Garcia. And, you know, she was able to get a submission on this level and, you know, make more of a name for herself, like I said, on this level of icon. But I feel like she's in a better place when it comes to building herself up. You know, I think she's in a much better place where she can develop more as a fighter and not, maybe not a superstar yet, but more so as a fighter. I think superstardom will come whenever she's developed as a fighter. Then places like Bellator and the UFC will call Amanda Serrano, you know, if she's around that long, you know. But for Clarissa, I think her situation is a little different because, you know, she's kind of right smack dab in the middle. It's going to have to be up to her to say, do I want to backtrack and, you know, pick up some more things, or do I want to continue to go forward where the competition is, you know, much more deadly, you know. Because let's look here too at Amanda Serrano's accomplishment. She actually posted this on her IG, and I found this fascinating because I didn't know she had hit the underground circuit like this, you know. So looking at Amanda Serrano, her latest post, she had just, you know, posted up a huge thank you to Icon and UFC Fight Pass for giving her the opportunity. And she said this too also: for those who don't know, I've done 2 jiu-jitsu tournaments. I'm 6-0 with 5 subs. In MMA, I'm 2-0 with 1 draw with 2 subs. I give my fans what they really want to see: KOs in boxing and subs in MMA and jiu-jitsu. So that right there tells you that Amanda Serrano is hitting the scene and she's working. You know, she's actually in there working. Not saying Clarissa's not, but she's actually taking a good approach with these jiu-jitsu tournaments and she's actually subbing people. So she's developing. She's developing. So when we look back at Clarissa Shields, I think, you know, she needs to be that that one to take control of her career and say, look, okay, I think we need to backtrack a little bit. Let's go hit some jiu-jitsu tournaments. Let's talk to Serrano. Let's get in on it, you know. And they're tight. You know, they know each other. They always talk. I see on IG, and, you know, they pretty much always give each other respect. So I think that might be something Clarissa does add to her, you know, add to her resume as she moves on. Because, like I said, it was a good night for both of them, but yeah, the challenge is going to get there, and they're going to have to always, you know, continue to stay up and evolve with the sport, because MMA, yeah, it's evolving. WMMA is evolving from what it was, you know, maybe 5-6 years ago, hell, even 3 years ago. But another thing I wanted to talk about with these two is I think that, you know, these two, from what I'm seeing and the respect they're getting, they have the potential to become stars in MMA, even more so than boxing. You know, they're already headlining cards. They have names for themselves in the world of boxing. And, you know, they can kind of bring that over as far as always mentioning the boxing. Because when you bring up boxing to the MMA fan, they automatically say, oh, they're going to get choked out. Oh, they're going to get submitted. They're going to get stomped out. They're going to tap out. So they're going to bring that element into the sport where people will see them as the underdog all the time. You know what I mean? And there's going to be a fan of the underdog, but there's always going to be those haters of the underdog that are going to follow your career, if that makes sense. You know, so when you come in with boxing accomplishments, people are going to be watching. They might not watch boxing, but they'll watch you come over and they want to see you lose. So that's going to be a big part to see. That's going to be a big part to see that, you know, a lot of people are going to, you know, be paying attention to that. So that's one way they can become successful. You know, of course, you know, it's going to be hard, though, because for Clarissa, it's going to be hard for her, because if she ever faces a loss, it's going to be hard on her. It's going to be really hard on her because, you know, she's got so many critics. But, you know, I think that the more and more she continues to develop herself, like I said, and just kind of take a back seat to even like trying to call out Amanda Nunes and, you know, being more so realistic, I think she could eventually, you know, develop into a fighter of her own. Like, she won't need names like Cyborg or names like Nunes, because I said this in my video the other day, is Clarissa Shields, by the time she is really developed into even like a purple belt, or, you know, even a brown belt, you know, well, purple belt, or she even gets the grasp of jiu-jitsu, shoot, Amanda Nunes might be done, you know? And I'm not saying that Clarissa's going to have like a, is like part of a slow learning thing, but I'm just saying like, that's how long it takes for you to get down wrestling and jujitsu. You know, wrestling takes years. Learning jujitsu takes years. So I think for Clarissa Shields, she needs to kind of make a lane of her own. Same like Kayla Harrison. Kayla Harrison saying she's better than all these fighters, but you need to kind of make your own lane instead of calling these other names out. So just kind of continue to grow as a fighter. If they're there when you get to a certain level, then they're there. But if they're not, make your own name. You know, make your own lane. So also I wanted to say too, but with becoming a star, you know, a lot of hard work will need to come with this transition. And I think that, you know, Shields and Serrano, they both know that. You know, Clarissa Shields, she did acknowledge in a recent interview that, you know, boxing training is a hell of a lot easier than MMA training. And I was like, of course it is. I was like, of course it is, man. Like, boxing is one discipline. You know, boxing is one discipline. And I know some people that come into the game of boxing, you know, at an older age, maybe like, you know, middle age, and they can actually go to like a, you know, amateur circuit for older people, you know, or like a, you know, little amateur tournaments for older, you know, older seniors fighters, you know. And I'm talking about when you get up into like your 40s. Like, I know some people that pick up boxing at 40 and they compete on an amateur level in their 40s, you know, because that's, you know, that's how much easier it is than something like MMA. You know, MMA is more than one discipline. You know, you have to be around the world, around these gyms, around different types of styles of fighting. You know, you got to have a body that can, you know, develop to these different types of disciplines. You know what I mean? You got to know how to kick. You got to know how to fight off your back. You got to know how to submit people. You got to know how to throw a strike different than boxing to be able to get out of the way. You got to know how to duck head kicks. You know what I mean? So there's just so much more to it. So yeah, definitely it's harder. So I'm glad that she knows that, and there's a lot more work to do. So, you know, starting from the bottom and working your way up, that's just something they're gonna have to do in this game, you know. But I think the doors are open for fighters like Clarissa Shields and Amanda Serrano moving forward. I think that both of them getting a certain amount of wins, they will get more respect and they probably will get more money. Like, the accolades might not be as high, like the belts might not be considered as high, but I could see Amanda Serrano and Clarissa Shields getting more bank. I mean, shoot, that might be more, that's probably more worth it than becoming undisputed in boxing, because hey, you become undisputed in boxing and in women's boxing, you're not getting paid that much. But let's say if you fight on Amanda Serrano's level, where you fight from Icon to Bellator, shoot, the checks in Bellator are going to be bigger. You know, the checks in Bellator are going to be bigger. Shoot, Clarissa's probably going to be making, touching M's in another 2 years, as long as she develops and gets better as a fighter, you know. So yeah, man, I like what I'm seeing, though. I like what I'm seeing. You know, Clarissa, Amanda, they're probably considered number one and number two in women's pound-for-pound boxing. And they came over Thursday and Friday night and said, look, we in here. We in the world of MMA. And we're trying to make a statement. So, yeah, man, shout out to Amanda and Clarissa. But, yeah, y'all let me know in the comment section what y'all think. Like I said, as long as they understand the grind, you know, and they understand these different disciplines and how hard it is, I think that they will get better and better as fighters. Like I said, for Clarissa, for her to acknowledge that it is harder, then, you know, she's definitely not taking this sport, you know, like a grain of salt. You know, she definitely understands that level now that she's reached, especially after that fight Thursday night, you know. But my final thoughts on this topic is that I think Clarissa Shields probably should hit some jiu-jitsu tournaments like Amanda Serrano is doing. Maybe they need to go to them together. That would be good promotion for both of them. And, you know, just continue to develop, you know, her stand-up as a Muay Thai fighter, her clinch game, but definitely that jiu-jitsu and wrestling. She really needs to develop that, you know, and maybe backtrack and get a couple of, you know, a couple of fights in like Icon and Invicta, you know, different places like that. But I think Amanda Serrano, she's kind of working that right grind from where she's at, you know, jiu-jitsu tournament. So, you know, she's submitting people and she's on Icon now headlining. So good moves for her, man. But yeah, moving on, let's talk Lauren Murphy a little bit, y'all. Let's talk about Lauren Murphy. You know, we've been talking about the energy. You know, where's the energy? That's the title of this episode. But as y'all know, this past Saturday, Lauren Murphy, she scored a split decision win over Joanne Calderwood. And, you know, I myself and, you know, a few other people feel like Joanne Calderwood actually did enough to win this fight. But I'm not gonna lie, man, it's one of them fights where if I was in the corner, I would be telling JoJo, look, if you lose, it's your own fault. It's one of those situations. Like, I could say, yeah, you're doing enough to win this fight, but if you do lose, just understand it's your fault because you never stepped on the gas. You know what I mean? Like, there were some moments in there where I feel like JoJo could have stepped on the gas and really, really did more damage to Lauren Murphy if she would have just paused up on her defense and stopped going tit for tat. Like I always say, you know, you got to go in there, you got to slip, you got to hit, you got to know how to hit these fighters without getting hit. You know what I mean? You got to hit and not get hit, because Lauren Murphy is going to hit you. You know, she likes to get hit. She likes to take a punch to give a punch. Let me put it that way. You know what I mean? Like, I'd like to say that fighters don't like to get hit, but you know, JoJo and Lauren, they don't mind. You know, they like to go in there and throw down. So maybe they do like getting hit, but if they did, they would improve their head movement, right? But with that, man, I think Joanne Calderwood did enough to win this fight, but there was just too many close moments. There were just too many close moments. You know, if y'all remember what I said in my prediction, I said that there will be close moments and it will be a split decision. I just had to go in JoJo's way, right? But moving forward from here, now that Lauren Murphy got this win over JoJo, she's on a 5-fight winning streak now, right? The topic once again comes up of, you know, her possibly getting the title shot. You know, and before we talk about that, at the post-press fight conference, you know, she stated that she feels like, hey, I'm one of the best fighters in the world. You know, not just in WMMA, but across with the men. You know, she felt like she's one of the more well-rounded fighters. She's worked on so many things. She has a lot of elements to her offense, to her defense, to her game. You know, she's one of the best fighters in the world. That's how she feels, you know. Well, my thing is, if that's how you really feel, you know, the best fight the best. At this point, you know, there should only be one fighter on your mind, right? Why not test being the best against the best in the division? And we all know who the best is, right? Who's the best in the flyweight division? I mean, the person with the belt, right? And that's Valentina Shevchenko. So I think at this point, you know, even whenever she was discussing this at the post-interview, I kind of felt like, come on, there has to be a point where she says, you know, I feel like I'm one of the best fighters in the world, and I want to test that against Valentina Shevchenko. I feel like I'm one of the best fighters in the world, and I'm going to give Valentina Shevchenko her first loss in a minute. You know what I mean? I'm going to go in there and beat her worse than Amanda Nunes ever could. You know, I'm going to go in there and beat her more definitively than Amanda Nunes could. You know what I mean? I'm going to really give her a loss. That's the kind of talk we want to hear. Like, I know Lauren Murphy doesn't want to be disrespectful, but I looked in another interview where she was kind of going in on fighters like Caitlin Chikagan and Jennifer Maya, you know, as far as like, you know, bigging herself up. You know, Lauren Murphy says, look, I've gone on the longest winning streak here. You know, I beat JoJo Calderwood hell of a lot more convincing than Caitlin Chikagan. You know, Caitlin Chikagan didn't beat JoJo, which I agree with her on that. She was like, she didn't beat JoJo. I did. Jennifer Maya keeps missing weight. You know, she was kind of putting it out there how she felt about these other flyweights and why she was better. Well, if they're not important anymore, and you know, Valentina's already beat Jennifer Maya, you know, Caitlin Chikagan, let's leave them alone. Let's separate ourselves from those fighters, right? Let's separate ourselves. Like, let's look ahead. And who's ahead? Valentina Shevchenko. So if it was me, I'd be like, look, I'm one of the best fighters in the world, and I got more tools than Caitlin ever had. So Caitlin Chikagan, she couldn't do it. I'm going to show how to beat Valentina Shevchenko. That's what I'm going to do, you know, because I didn't really feel that energy from her. You know, it seems like there's a little bit overly respectful to Valentina Shevchenko. Maybe I'm reading it wrong, but that's what I'm getting. Because even like when Jessica Andrade's name came up, she was like, wow, Jessica Andrade wants to fight Valentina. She can go first. You know, she kind of pushed it off like that and said maybe she did deserve it more so than I did. But I wouldn't have said that, because again, Lauren Murphy was on her winning streak even whenever Jessica Andrade came into the division, right? So she could have argued that. I know when Andrade came up, I said let Andrade get it too, but Lauren Murphy, she could have made that argument and said let me get it first, you know. But I don't know, but I think it's just one of those things, man, where I just need to hear more energy from these fighters. You know, I'm not getting enough energy where we feel like these flyweights don't really want to compete against the best. I know what you guys are going to say in live streams in the comment section. You're going to say they know that they're going to get destroyed. That's why they don't want to fight Valentina Shevchenko. But you're never going to know unless you don't test yourself. I mean, putting your foot inside the octagon, that's getting you closer to getting to the belt than avoiding the fight, right? At least if you get in there and when that first bell rings and you come out and meet her in the center of the octagon, that's a better chance than avoiding the fight, right? That's why I say some people say, oh, she doesn't want to get humiliated. Humiliation comes from not facing the big challenge. You know what I mean? Humiliation comes from not facing the big challenge. That's how I see it. That's how I see it. It's like, okay, I go in there, get beat by Valentina. I get outclassed. I get destroyed. Okay. Well, I took the challenge. I thought I could do it. I took the challenge, right? But what if I never answer the call? What if Dana White says, you want to fight Valentina? And I say, no, I ain't ready. I ain't ready. And he says, okay, whatever, Will. We're about to cut you. We're not going to let you fight anymore. What's more humiliating? Like, I know I love to play back the Valentina head kick over Jessica I over and over. I love playing that fight back. I watched it last night, matter of fact. But what if Jessica I didn't take that fight? Which would have been more humiliating? Watching her get knocked out in the second round or her never taking the fight at all? That's more humiliating to me, not taking the fight or finding some type of excuse to get out of it. That's humiliation, you know, because you're saying that I'm not good enough to fight her, so I'm going to try to find some type of way to get out of the fight. So you can't cheat yourself. You know, you can't cheat yourself. You have to take the chance when it's given to you, when you have to take that opportunity. That's why it's always important to stay ready at some point. Like Lauren Murphy all day long, you know, she's saying that she's better than all these other fighters and she has a well-rounded game. Well, I want to see it. I want to see it in there with Valentina Shevchenko. Now, there's no other answer. There's no other fight she needs to take. I mean, from here, you know, there's nothing else to do but to take on that fight, because the way she's moving like there's other ways to go, you know, and I think that's the problem. There's too much room to go in another direction. But if you want the title, there's only one way. You know, if you want the title, there's only one way, and that's up. That's up. You know what I mean? That's the only way you can go from here. But yeah, let me know in the comment section how y'all feel about that. I just would like to hear Lauren Murphy say, look, no more fights, no more stay active fights at Valentina Shevchenko or at Bullet Shevchenko, whatever her Twitter is. She needs to say, look, I want that fight. Let me get that fight. Because even when Jennifer Maya submitted JoJo Calderwood in that, quick fight that JoJo took, as soon as Jennifer Maya won it, she called out Valentina Shevchenko. And Valentina said, let's do it. And the fight happened. You know, so when Lauren says, Valentina, let's do it the same way, or she could have said that same night, I think, you know, you would have seen that tweet pop up from Valentina. Definitely, man, definitely. But I just need to see more energy from these fighters, man, because, you know, that's what makes this game. That's what everybody wants to see. You know, it's still entertainment. Like, there's still a line. You know, there's still that. I know there's that line of, you know, it's being a martial arts, but there's still entertainment where the fans want to hear y'all call them out. They want to hear the best want to fight the best, you know, want to fight the best. But yeah, man, we'll talk more about Lauren Murphy, because there were some more things in that other interview I want to kind of go back and look at. I'm probably going to have to do another video on that because I didn't get a chance to watch the whole thing. There's some parts I think I missed to it. But yeah, I just want to go back and talk about the energy as far as, you know, Lauren Murphy wanting this fight. But there was another thing, too, real quick. Yeah, Dana White, he had actually said that Lauren's not guaranteed to fight. You know, he actually said that. And I don't know what that could be. Maybe it could be because he's feeling she's not being aggressive enough, you know, or maybe he feels like she's not dominant. You know, maybe it's a lot of close decisions. But I would disagree with that. Like, if a fighter is winning close decisions and they are winning, I'm fine with that. They still deserve their title shot, you know, because we don't know what the actual title fight would look like. Like, if Lauren Murphy continues to win close decisions, that's fine. And as long as she's on a 5-fight winning streak, she gets it. You know, she should still get it, you know. I think it's just the call outs. Like, she needs to make it more aggressive. That's all it is. Yeah, because 5-fight winning streak, number 3, same position that Carla's in now, right now, right, after she beat Yan Zhang. So I feel like it should just be a situation now where she makes it known to Dana, kind of corner Dana and say, look, there's nobody else now. Valentina's already beat these other girls like Chikeg and Andrade, Maya, I, you know what I mean? So let me get that shot next. I'm number 3, you know? So yeah, man, let me know in the comment section what y'all think though. All right, so last topic, Tanisha Tennant. So a few weeks back, somebody in the live stream asked me a question about why they haven't signed Tanisha Tennant and Chelsea Taylor to the UFC. And, you know, I answered it. You know, I kind of gave my little discussion on it in the live stream. You know, a few people agreed with me, some disagreed with me. But I had a suggestion from, shout out to Robert Henry. He suggested that I chop that part out of the live stream and just post it up as a separate video, which I did. You know, I did. And I actually had a lot of people, you know, give me responses to it, not necessarily in the comment section. You know, it wasn't like a video that got like thousands and thousands of views, but, you know, it kind of put the alert up on some people, you know, because some people actually responded to it. I know, you know, did their own videos and responded to it. I actually had some people hit me behind the scenes and tell me why they felt like, you know, Tanisha Tennant hasn't been signed. And yeah, had a few people respond in the comment section, you know. But yeah, I wanted to come back and talk about it in this podcast because I just feel like there's some other points I wanted to cover, and actually just covered a little bit more clear for the show, just in case y'all haven't heard it, because it was just a question off the dome too. Because when I just have those little Q&A's there, somebody just asked me a question, like, it wasn't like the whole topic was, the whole show was about, you know, Chelsea Chandler and Tanisha Tennant, you know. So I just answered it off the fly, so I just kind of want to go back and make some points on it. But as y'all know, Tanisha Tennant, you know, she's a young fighter I've been following for a while now. You know, she's made a name for herself winning the Invicta Phoenix series for bantamweights. You know, she's been under the radar, mostly still training and working at her craft, you know, getting her craft up. And she's just been waiting on that call, you know, I guess either from UFC or Invicta, Bellator, whichever. But, you know, since then, other fighters like Miranda Maverick, Brianna Van Buren, also fellow winners of their separate, you know, Invicta Phoenix tournaments, you know, they're winners. They've been signed to the UFC. But the closest Tanisha Tennant's gotten was having to move up to 145 and face a fighter everyone feels like was hyped up by the UFC in the Contender Series, you know. And in that Contender Series fight, you know, she lost to Danielle Wolf, very close decision. And since then, you know, we haven't heard much from Tanisha Tennant, you know. So, you know, I've still been following her on social media. She's been training, she's been working, and yeah, she's just been kind of under the radar. But yeah, it was just a question somebody had asked me, like, why I feel like she hadn't been signed. And the fact that I brought up race was a big part of her not being signed. You know, some people, you know, felt, they disagreed with me, some didn't, some feel like she wasn't signed because she's a below average fighter, which I definitely disagree with, because the UFC has signed below average fighters before and they still do it, you know. So it has nothing to do with her talent. So to me, it definitely makes me feel like it has to deal with her about race, because, you know, you got to understand, like, there is a certain market that the UFC looks for. You know, they will sign black fighters, especially when it comes to men, but it seems like it's harder when there are black female MMA fighters. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have a lot of them, but when they do come through, they have to really, really stand out, it seems, you know. And I do feel like it's like about race, and you can't really say it's about her social media following. You know, I know some people feel like it's about her social media following, like she's not that popular, but I think the UFC and a fighter have to work hand in hand, you know, because not everybody the UFC signed is like popular. I think the UFC makes people popular, and popular people that come in help bring more popularity to the UFC. You know, that's how it works. Because if you go back to the Tough House, some fighters like Beck Rollins way back 7-8 years ago, Jojo Calderwood, even whenever Claudia Gadelha was a coach for the Tough House, when they weren't signed to the UFC, they weren't that popular. But when they hit the Tough House, or when they were hitting a wider market in the UFC, and they were put more on Fox at the time, their popularity seemed to go up. They gained more followers because they were signed with the UFC. You know what I mean? So it can kind of be a hand in hand thing, but you have to think about it too. Like, the UFC is out to put fighters in the limelight more so. That's how I see it. Like, it's up to the UFC to find these hidden gems and these fighters with. It's up to the UFC to find hidden talent, if you will. You know, it's on them to bring certain types of fighters and certain types of looks to the UFC to say, hey, check this fighter out. This fighter's got great talent. Keep an eye on these fighters, you know. So whenever you sign to the UFC, that's one way of building your fan base up. You know, it's not necessarily about you coming in with a low fan base or you not being signed because of a low fan base. I still think it comes down to, you know, a marketing look, you know, and I think the UFC is still a little bit on the fence about signing some black females to the UFC, or especially if they have talent, you know, because again, when you look at Tanisha Tennant compared to even like Breonna Van Buren and Miranda Maverick, I feel like she has just as much talent, and you know, in her own respective weight class, she could do a lot for them right now, especially in the bantamweight division, you know. So I think that is a big part of it, and I say that because the one thing I do think of is like with Angela Hill. You know, Angela Hill, whenever she did her video, I think it was on her channel and on ESPN, when she addressed the fact that, you know, she was the first black woman to be a main event in the UFC, she got a lot of hate for that. You know, she got a lot of thumbs down. Like, that video on YouTube got like a record number of thousands and thousands of thumbs down. You know what I mean? Like, so many people in the comment section were saying this video is racist. They were saying, like, what does race have to do with this? Why you got to be the first black to do this? Like, you being black ain't important, you know. But when you go back and look at fighters like Megan Anderson mentioning the fact that she's the first Australian to do something, or Marino, he's the first Mexican UFC champion, all that stuff gets praised, right? All that stuff's getting praised. But like, whenever somebody like Angela Hill addresses being the first black woman to do something, it seems to get a lot of hate. So I know that if like Tanisha Tennant came over, became the first black female bantamweight champion or something like that, it would get a lot of hate if she addressed it, you know. So see, Breonna Van Buren, she probably was brought in at the time because, you know, it needed an opponent right away, and you know, that was just perfect timing. It's almost like they kind of look at those little things, you know. That's why I say that race does play a factor in there. Now, if you do want to say it's about like just a certain look, well, the look comes into play too, because it's like in Hollywood, like I worked in film a little bit, and I still do, there is a certain look, and the look involves color, vice versa, the color involves look, you know what I mean? So they look for a certain type of female with a certain type of skin tone to represent, you know, what their demographic wants, you know. So it's not always about the talent. Like for me, I'm saying Tanisha is about the talent because I want to see the fight. But when it comes down to the casual MMA fan, they don't really learn the names of these women. They more so base they mostly base what they know about the women on how they look. You know, they don't even take the time to learn a lot of these women's names. Like, even if it doesn't come into color with some of these other women, like, there's a lot of casual men fans that don't know who Joanna is. They don't know Joanna's name. They don't know Valentina's name, right? But when it comes to the ladies like Paige or Holly, because, again, it comes down to the specific look they want, they know. You know, even like with Valerie Lareda, you know, they know those names because of what they're bringing to the table, you know, and it's not about the talent there. So I think there is that line there where the UFC doesn't know how to cross over and say, let's sign Tanisha based off of her talent. You know, we're still thinking about this thing, you know, called race here, you know. So I think that is a big part of it, though. I do think that is a big part of it. And if you don't want to say it's about race, then, what, you know, the UFC, look, They're not quick to grab women strictly off of talent either, right? Like they are with the men, like Tanisha Tennant, Pam Bam Sorensen, Chelsea Chandler. You know, why are these women not signed or called when, you know, Tabitha Ricci, Aaron Blanchfield, Conejo Ruiz, they're all called. Hell, Danielle Wolfe, she signed off of one fight. She's 0-0. The contender series signs her after one controversial win, right? So with the ladies I've named, like Tabitha Ricci, Danielle Wolfe, and Ruiz, it's off of a look there, not necessarily talent. It's off of a style of look that the men like. Because one thing I noticed is like Tabitha Ricci, like at the stare down with Manon Firo, like I saw a lot of crazy comments there. You know, a lot of men saying some crazy stuff in there off of her look. Same with Ruiz. It's off of the look, you know. So I think that the UFC is looking at certain things with certain types of women. Like the Latin women will get signed off of looks too, but you know, you have to, I'm not saying they're not talented, because they are. And I'm not saying the talented women are not attractive either, because they are some, you know. Tanisha Tennant is an attractive woman, but it still comes down to that specific look that they want. You know, that's what it comes down to in the UFC. But, yeah, man, in my opinion, I think that's just how it is. And that's just my opinion on that. I think she hasn't been signed because of her look, because of her race. Maybe they'll change that. You know, maybe they will finally sign her soon. But in my opinion, you know, that's what I see. But another thing I want to bring up too is I feel like the UFC, they really blew their chances on working their two markets in the world of WMMA. Because let's be honest, there's two markets there. You know, there's the people who watch for talent, then there's the people who watch the eye candy. Like, the casual fans are watching for the eye candy. And with that contender series fight between Danielle Wolfe and Tanisha Tennant, they could have worked both markets there. For Danielle Wolfe, you bring in an 0-0 fighter. You're basing it off of looks. You know you are. You know, you should have had her fight another featherweight that she could beat, and boom, you could have signed her, brought in that market you wanted to see, that really wanted to, you know, just kind of look at her and, you know, look at her as a model. You could have had that market. Then Tanisha Tennant, hey, you need more bantamweights, find her a bantamweight to fight. She wins, boom, you got Tanisha Tennant signed. So you could have had two fighters right there, but instead you let the featherweight fight the bantamweight. She barely wins. She kind of gets exposed. And what happens? People are saying she lost to Tanisha Tennant. Now you don't have Tanisha Tennant signed. Now you got Danielle Wolfe signed, who's 1-0, trying to, you know, now you got Danielle Wolfe signed in a division that we know is almost non-existent. But at the same time, we don't see her beating fighters like Felicia Spencer or Norma Dumont, right? So, yeah. That was one thing I did want to address there, man, because I was just like, wow, like, you know, they really messed up their chances there. They could have had a featherweight and a bantamweight on the same night. But anyways, man, but overall, man, I think with Tanisha not getting signed, it's not anything to get upset about. Like I said, somebody asked me that question. I think it'll come. You know, I think her not being signed yet, it is like a blessing in disguise, though. You know, the longer you wait, you know, the more time you have to develop as a fighter. I feel like right now, you know, she has a great team behind her at Budokan, and, you know, she has some of the smartest striking in the game, and, you know, she's surrounded by top talent. You know, she's working with Caitlin Chikay and Claudia Gadelha, Sajara Eubank, and you can always take the best from these fighters, and when you're surrounded by talent like that, you know, iron sharpens iron. You know, so as long as she can take stuff from these different fighters and kind of pick their brains and work with them, I think that'll really help her as far as, you know, growing into the UFC, because, you know, those are fellow UFC fighters right there, you know, so they're going to help push her in the right direction she needs to go. And I'm sure they're asking too, like, you know, Caitlin, Sarge, they're probably all like, why the hell is this girl not signed to the UFC yet? You know, she's giving us work, you know. So, yeah, it's a blessing in disguise, you know. Just always see that, because in the meantime, you can always prepare yourself to get better and better. And then when that time comes, that phone call comes, shoot, you'll be prepared to go in there and make the biggest statement of your life, you know. So yeah, man, that's pretty much all I got on that one. Like I said, I just kind of want to go back and just cover those points for the show. You know, like I said, I feel like Tanisha hasn't been signed because of that, and it just comes down to that marketability, you know, that type of marketability that they look for. And, you know, they're going to be the ones that suffer for it, because she has the talent, and, you know, she has the talent, and you know, she definitely has the skill set. It's just not apparently what they want right now. I feel like it's what they need right now. But yeah, man, final thoughts on this episode. Been a good episode, you know, talked about a few different things. Like I said, energy, man. It's all about the energy when you really want something. You know, you got to go in there and make it known that's what you want, because when that energy counters everything else out there, it'll just point everybody in the same direction that you're going. You know, once you have that type of energy, like I say with Lauren Murphy, you know, making it known she wants the title, that energy is going to help push everybody else in the same direction she wants to go, and they'll support it. You know, like, that's something I always strictly believe. Like, when you really, really believe you want something, and you carry that energy in a way that, you know, it can't be denied, then everybody will find their way to try to get you what you want. That's how I feel. They'll all fall in behind you. But yeah, man, that's pretty much all I got on this episode, guys. Like I said, I'll be back with another episode for the recap for Invicta at the Atomweight tournament. And yeah, guys, like always, make sure y'all subscribe here to the YouTube channel, Combo Breaker 99. Subscribe to the show, hashtag CB99 Talks. It's on Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, all of that, you know. And y'all can catch, you know, the episode on my YouTube channel as well. Follow me on Instagram, Combo Breaker 99, at all boxing everything, guys. And I'll be back with another episode ASAP. Combo Breaker 99. I'm out. Subscribe. Peace.